Well, good morning. A little background. I'm going to share about a mission trip I took to Russia this last January. But to get a little background, about 6 years ago, I attended a missions conference at Moody Bible Institute in Spokane, Washington. And I was there representing Rocknest and UIM. And the booth next to us was SOAR International. And SOAR stands for Service and Outreach Alaska to Russia. And we have a lot of time to visit. And as I was talking with them, they talked about how they went over to Moscow in January and ran a week-long camp. Well, that kind of sparked my interest because I've always wanted to take some of the kids we work with over to Russia and help out with a camp over there. And there's no way we could go in the summertime, but January is a different story. And so we got to talking. Well, that was 6 years ago. And God finally opened the door for me to go this last January. But since that 6 years, they have discontinued the camp, but they have another program called Stuff a Stocking. And that's what I went to be with them this coming year. Probably 10 or 12 years ago, the Russian government told Samaritan's Purse that they were not allowed to bring in the shoeboxes anymore for Christmas. And so SOAR International came up with an idea on Stuff a Stocking. And so what they do is they take stockings such as this that are sewn by churches in here in North America. And I think we took over about 1,000 of them this last January in big suitcases. And they also take money to stuff these stockings. And their whole idea is to partner with the local churches and provide stockings for orphanages. And so that's what I went over to be a part of. And so I'll have this later at the back and you can look at it. So what happened was I went over, and you can go to the next one, Heather. And we flew into Moscow, and then we went to the town of Ryazan. Go one more, Heather, which is about a five-hour drive south of Moscow. And this was our first stop. We met there at a church, okay, in Ryazan, and the pastor's name is Anatoly. Anatoly has spent many, many years traveling to orphanages in that area. He goes every week to some of the orphanages. He goes every other week to other orphanages. The kids in these orphanages look at him like grandpa. They go in, they sing songs, they have a puppet show that they take, and then they do some magic. And when I first heard that word magic, I thought, how does that happen with the gospel? But it's illusions. And I have one this morning that I'm going to show you because it really illustrates the creation, sin, and why God sent his son. And so I'll have that for you at the very end. Hopefully it'll work this time. Some of you have seen it a few times. So, but this is Anatoly with his granddaughter. And so we stayed for a week here with Anatoly. They had a three-day camp for the kids from the church and from the local area. So we got to be part of a camp. It was just a day camp. They didn't come and spend the night or anything. So that was good. That was a lot of fun. Go ahead, Heather. But we stuffed stockings, too. I think they had almost 1,000 stockings at this church that we were going to distribute in the next few days. So one day, we took off after the camp was over, and we went to the first orphanage. There were about 15 kids. This was a younger orphanage, so they had kids there that were 4 years old up to about 9, 10, 11 years old. Most of these kids had a disability with them. And so we went into the orphanage, and there I am with a little hand puppet, just kind of getting to know some of the kids a little bit. They have gifts that they give out in addition to the stockings. But they have a program. Go ahead, Heather. This is Dick Page. He is the director of SOAR. He does the magic. He had about 8 illusions. 7 of them had something to do with the gospel or with Bible stories. There was one about the prodigal son. There was one that really illustrated the death of Christ and how he is now living in heaven, which was, I watched him do it so many times that I thought, I can do that, but I don't know that I really can. But this was part of the program. They also had puppet shows that also had a gospel message behind it. They would sing songs, and so it was really kind of a time to get to know the kids. We didn't have a whole lot of time. We had about an hour and a half each orphanage because we had 4 to go to that day. And then we would hand out the stockings. And in the stockings, much like the shoe boxes, they would put a Bible. They would put soap, shampoo. They would put school supplies, some candy, and maybe a toy to play with in those stockings. What happens is SOAR would take the stockings over. They would also take money from the U.S. over. And then the local churches, such as Anatoly, would buy everything. Then we would go over, help stuff the stockings, and then distribute them. Go ahead. Then at the very end, we'd all take a picture together. Some of the girls really wanted to dance. I don't know if there's a picture of it, the next one. No, there isn't. Good. I didn't want you to see me do that. I do have it. One of the stories we got to hear about was this gal in the middle. Her name is Katya. Katya grew up in this orphanage. And when she was young, a couple from the States adopted her. Well, at the same time when the Russian government told Samaritan's Purse no more boxes coming into Russia, they ceased any adoptions from outside of Russia. So they were just finalizing the paperwork for Katya when Russia shut everything down. So she never got to come to the States, but these are the two people who raised her in this orphanage. And she came with us that day because she was just awarded by the state of Russia her first apartment. And so she asked Anatoly, who helped her furnish it and helped her in the transition from the orphanage into getting a job and finding a place to live, to come and pray for her and the apartment. And so we got to be a part of that. And we'll see a picture of that later. But she grew up in this orphanage. When they become about 16, 17 years old, they leave the orphanage, and there are a few types of transition homes to where these kids can come into the transition home, and they're taught budgeting, they're taught how to cook for themselves, they're taught just basic life skills so they can get along and exist outside the orphanage. And so that's what she's done with Anatoly. When we stayed in Ryazan, we stayed in the transition home with some of the kids there. Orphanages, probably less than 2% really make it after the orphanage. The rest end up either dead or in prison or some type of addiction facility, rehab facility. So Katya is one of those who really did well during that transition time. Okay, Heather? So we went to, like I said, we went to 4 different orphanages that day. Go ahead. There's the puppet show. One more, Heather. At this orphanage, some of the kids had practiced and did some plays for us. And so they stood up and performed. This was a group of kids that were singing. There were dancers. There were people that read poems that they had written. Of course, I didn't understand much of it. But this was our day of orphans. There's some more of the kids receiving there. The last orphanage was a bedridden orphanage, and we weren't sure we were going to get to go in and see that. But they did let us in, and we got to take some pictures. These kids are confined to their bed. There's a disability that they have that they can't get out of bed. This is one orphanage that a number of years ago, a person came in and showed them some rehab techniques to work with the kids, to strengthen their muscles and stuff. And so they've been working on that. And there were some kids that were on mats that they were working with. So they weren't in the beds the whole time. But their disability just was that they couldn't get along. So we took just little bags of gifts for them that day. Okay, Heather. This is Katya's apartment. You could probably fit four of them, maybe even five, in this room right here. When we walked into the apartment, there was a little hallway that led down to the kitchen with the bathroom off to the side, and then a doorway on the left that went into the living room that was also the bedroom, and that was it. She had a nice little couch that she would fold out and make into a bed. She had a TV and a dining room table, little dining room table that was all in that one room. The kitchen was probably about 6 by 8, and that had her everything, her stove, refrigerator, sink, everything was in that. She was really excited. So this is the group that we got to go in and pray for her. She had tea for us. We drank a lot of tea in the morning. For snack, at lunch, and at dinner. And sometimes before bedtime, we drink tea. But that's Katya. Okay, Heather? After Ryzon, we got to go back to Moscow. And we spent a night in Moscow. And that night, we went into Red Square. We went down to the Kremlin and got to see Red Square. There hadn't been much snow in Russia this time, which is very unusual. But that night we went into the Red Square. Go ahead, Heather. We got to see beautiful lights, and then it started snowing big flakes. And this is the St. Basil's Cathedral in Red Square. This is pretty incredible building. It's a church. It's a cathedral. It was built back in the 1550s. And Ivan the Terrible, who was the leader of Russia then, had this built by an Italian architect. When he finished it, Ivan had him blinded so he could never again produce something as beautiful or more beautiful than that. It was just incredible that night to be in Red Square. The folks from SOAR had never been there at this time, and with it snowing like that, it was just a really fun experience. Okay, Heather. Then the next day we went up to St. Petersburg. And this is where God kind of really spoke to me with some of the testimonies that I heard in St. Petersburg. Okay. This is Vlad. Vlad is the pastor we went up to work with. His testimony was pretty incredible. He was not a young man that was very popular when he was young. He was in lots of trouble. He ended up in prison. And during a prison transfer, taking him from one prison to another, he and a buddy tried to escape, and he was shot. When he was in the hospital, the doctor said, basically, you're never going to walk again. And I don't know that you'll ever live. He was in such bad shape that they didn't give him much hope. So he just said, Lord, if you are real, show me. And that was about 15 years ago, maybe 17. I'm not sure. Some of the translation was hard to follow at times. But his testimony is pretty standard for their church. Their little church there in St. Petersburg, I would imagine about half the people had either been in prison or in a rehab center when they found the Lord. And their testimonies are pretty incredible. I'll share another one here in a minute. This is, if you look, the gentleman on your left there, that's Dennis. He came to know the Lord while he was in rehab center. Then Vlad is the next one. The third one from the left is Slavo. Slavo is their camp director. He's been their camp director for the last 5 years for their summer camp. So through the translator, we got to know each other a little bit, and I kind of jokingly said to him that we should trade places, that he should come to Canada, and I'll come over to Russia, and we'll take the camps for the summer. And he kind of chuckled, and he said, I can't do that. He said, I would have to admit to you that I was a gangster. His testimony is, when he was younger, he used to get young girls addicted to drugs for all kinds of different things. And this is true. He did that. He was part of a gang there in St. Petersburg. He was in prison. God got a hold of him. And the reason God got a hold of him was one of the young gals who he got into the gang. She ended up in prison and in a rehab center, came to know the Lord. She started praying for Slavo. And then Slavo came to know the Lord. Both of these people are part of this church now. And those are just three of the four men there came to know the Lord either in prison or in rehab. And that was pretty much the testimony of this church. It really showed me how God can change lives. We just had the greatest time with these men. I got to stay in Vlad in his wife's apartment. The guys got to stay with them. And I wasn't feeling the greatest when we got to St. Petersburg. And Vlad's wife was a doctor. She quit practicing because of all the people that they serve. They needed her more than practicing outside the church. So she decided she was going to work for the Lord instead of for the government. But she gave me something that night, and Vlad came in and had a little espresso cup filled with this white milky substance. And he just kind of pinched his nose and said, just drink it. And I looked at Dick and was thinking, oh my goodness, what do I do? So I did. It wasn't that bad, but I could feel it burn all the way down. I don't know what was in it to this day because we did not have a translator at that time. So I felt better the next morning, though. But these men were part of the leadership in the church, and these men are the ones that we worked with when we went out to the orphanages there in St. Petersburg. Okay, Heather? Loading up the car. Go ahead. This is one of the orphanages we went to. Two of the four orphanages in St. Petersburg were run by the police. Last year, and not this year, but in 2017 was their first time in these orphanages. And the police that they worked with told them, no gospel message. You can come in and do your magic and do your shows or do whatever you want to do, but no gospel message. And so last year they accommodated that. This year when they went into those orphanages, they said, do it all. We want to hear everything. So that was a big change that they were really excited about. Okay, Heather. Go one more. So this is one of the police captains that kind of organized it all for these two orphanages. She also, you can go to the next one. She also called one night right before we got ready to leave and said, can you do one more orphanage for, well, we thought it was an orphanage. Can you do one more for us? And we said, yes, we'd be happy to. How many kids? And she said, six. We had kind of gotten word that we might go to like a juvenile delinquent home, kids that were too young for prison. We thought we might be going there at this time. So we got all ready and we pulled up to this gate, big iron gate, and it moved open for us and we drove in. We walked into the building that night thinking, okay, we're not sure who we're here for. But on the wall was a poster with a diagram of how to take apart and assemble an AK-47. So we thought, this is probably not the juvenile delinquent home. I don't think they would have that on there. Come to find out, she wanted us to come and share with her kids and the other kids from other officers. So it was all set up for the police kids. And this was a huge step in sharing the gospel, because Anatoly, the first pastor we worked with, his father was a Baptist pastor and spent 5 years in prison years ago because he was a Baptist pastor. Currently in Russia, if you have a church and you are registered with the state, you can have worship services freely. If you are not registered with the state, chances are you may be arrested if you participate in that congregation. So the state is really tracking the church at this point. But they do have some freedoms that they haven't had in the past years. Okay, Heather? This was the transition home in St. Petersburg. There were 7 kids here that night. Again, when they leave the orphanage around 16, 17 years of age, they have an option to go into these transition homes if they would like to. And that's when they find and start to develop some of their life skills to sustain them for their adulthood. Go ahead. This is the worship team. And then just one of the, well, I'll end with this one. This is one of the girls getting her Bible, pretty excited about getting things. The orphans don't have a lot, but Anatoly and Vlad and their teams really provide an incredible time of sharing the gospel with these kids. So I think that's the last one, Heather. Yeah. So I need a couple of people to come up and help me. Do I have any volunteers? Just 2. Somebody? Come on up, Caleb. Come on up. Come on up. Is it Justin? Jacob. Jacob and Caleb. Okay, guys. You guys haven't seen this, have you? No. The senior highs, the high school, I did this for them. So this was one of the illusions that I thought, you know what? That's basic stuff. And watching Dick do this, I thought, I can do that at home. So this is what I have here. This is going to represent creation. So take a step right over here, right there, right up here, Caleb. Jacob, right over here for me, okay? Okay. The white bead is going to represent God. I'm going to give that to you. The green bead is going to represent creation or us. I'm going to give that to Jacob. Now, would you guys just put this rope right in those beads for me? Just feed it right on through. Yep, grab the end and I'll take the bead. Get it? All right. Can you guys kind of hold that up just a little bit? There you go. So this is meant to represent how God created everything to have a relationship, to walk with his creation. And if you think about it, in the Garden of Eden, God walked with Adam and Eve. He had a direct relationship with them. And that's how God created it. Okay, if you take your bead back off, I'll take the rope. But something happened, and you all know what that is. Sin entered the world, okay? And that's going to be the black bead here. But sin didn't come for a day, didn't come for one person. It came to stay. So I'm going to tie a knot around sin, okay? Now, if you guys would put your beads back on, yep, put both ropes back in there. Now we can see how, go ahead, Now we can see how sin got in between God and his creation. And that relationship, that fellowship, no longer exists. But God loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus. And Jesus is going to be represented, can you hold it up for a little bit, Jacob? By my red handkerchief. And God sent his son Jesus to live on the earth. He came to die for our sins, to take our sins away. He didn't come to just cover it up, but he came to take sin totally away. To reestablish that relationship with his creation. Okay? This is one of the examples. You guys can go ahead and sit back down. Thank you very much for your help. This was one of the examples that I really thought, wow, that really does illustrate the creation and why God sent his son to take away our sins. I went to Russia because I wanted to have an opportunity for the guys we work with to see another culture, to go over. They weren't able to go with me this year. It's quite an expensive trip. It's quite a trip. We were there for 2 weeks. Kyle and Mitchell and I just got back from a short missions trip to Arizona about a week and a half ago, where we went down and worked on the Apache reservation. I got to know SOAR. I thought this would be an incredible experience to take some of these kids over and to be a part of a camp over there, or just to be a part in seeing what God is doing in another part of the world. So that was my trip to Russia. Do you guys have any questions? I know this may not be the normal church service, but I will be in the back later. You can sure come and look. I know some of the ladies in church have thought, you know what, we could do that. It takes about $35 to $40 to fill a stocking for these kids. And so it might be something you might want to be a part of at some point. But that's it. Can we pray for Russia? And then I'll turn it back over to the worship team. Okay. Father, thank you for the opportunity you gave me to see your work and your hand moving in Russia. Lord, I thank you for Vlad and Anatoly and the work that they're doing in their churches. I thank you for their boldness in sharing the gospel in the orphanages, with the police, with whoever comes into their pathway. Lord, thank you that you are alive and growing in Russia. I pray for them and their churches that you would continue to show your love and your truth to those around them. And I just pray that you would shine brightly in all of Russia, Lord. Lord, thank you for this morning, and I just ask your blessing to be upon us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
So we practice an open communion at our church. So if you have asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, then we would encourage you to participate in communion. If you have